Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
In her new memoir, The Madwoman in the Volvo, writer and performer Sandra Singlow tells the story of her personal roller coaster of menopause. It includes an affair with a married man, the explosion of her marriage, and the pressure of keeping her daughters off of Facebook while managing the legal and marital hijinks of her 89-year-old father. Surprisingly, deeper research into the biological science of menopause suggests that this is all somewhat normal. Lowe deduces that this midlife madness is less about menopause than about the madness of the world, trying to maintain appearances during an epic hormonal, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual change. Sandra Singlow is a contributing editor to The Atlantic and the author of five previous books. She is a regular commentator on NPR's Morning Edition and PRI's This American Life, or This American Life, as we properly say. And she's performed two solo shows off-Broadway, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her back to the roundtable. Sandra, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It is a delight to have you here. The title of the book, The Mad Woman in the Volvo. At what point did you know you were going to write about this?
Well, it began as an assignment for my Atlantic Monthly editor who said, you got to write about something for menopause. For years, he chased after me. I go, I don't want to write about that. I don't know what that means. It feels creepy, and I'm too bloated, tired, irritated, angry, and depressed to write about that. You know, it's like it was a phenomenon that was thrust upon where I go, I don't know what this thing is. But in fact, as I started to learn about it, because it's a huge phenomenon, you know, women, middle-aged women, 45 to 60, are America's biggest demographic group. There's 50 million of us. And by 2015, almost one in two American women will be menopausal, the largest swarm of menopausal women in history. So what started happening to me, though, is I started having these sort of wild and inappropriate mood swings. And I think what you cited, the average age of the onset of perimenopause, the section before, is 46. And 46 is the age I was when my whole life started to crack up. And, you know, I've been in the same relationship for 20 years, married, children, households, cars, pets, where all of a sudden the whole thing became unglued in the middle. And in the middle of that, I had the affair, blew up our families, then he moved home. It was this epic midlife crisis meltdown. And at that point, you do have to write yourself out of it.
The idea that all of this is happening, hormones or not, people have midlife crises. So, but you add to it this incredible hormonal or epic hormonal change, as you refer to it, then that's just a whole other game, isn't it?
It is, and people do experience it totally differently. You know, scientifically speaking, it is, you know, in 1900, the average life expectancy was 48, so people didn't see this phenomenon happening that much. Now, since we live to, you know, almost 90, sort of menopause isn't the change. Fertility is that change, sort of in the middle, when that cloud comes down and women become nurturing and bonding and become mommies and take care of everyone else. So when that cloud lifts, it really destabilizes sort of a lot of stuff, because instead of mom or the wife being in the household, being the glue to keep the whole household running, it's like, why am I? That's why when we remember from our mother's era, it was that moment where, one day she's, washing the dishes, the next day she's throwing them. Suddenly, why is that occurring? And it is a hormonal shift of sort of women coming back to their former selves, where they were as preteen girls, where they had other things that they were more interested in doing than cooking and making dinner and setting the table for people. So it is, it's a big cataclysmic shift, sort of where sometimes women, and it doesn't affect all women the same way, but where they start to sort of question what's happening in life. And some of the sensory, when I think of my kids and those Chuck E. Cheese birthday parties I used to take them to, you have to be in some altered state, I think, to be even able to sort of tolerate the peed on baby car seats and all that. Like, actually, there's a lot of sensory sort of violation that comes with young children, but you're in a different cloud where you can actually tolerate it more.
Right.
So it changes. So it's just another phase.
And it being another phase, and you making the point, obviously, that it affects women in different ways. So you don't look at it and you, of what happened when it comes to the affair, when it comes to the marriage, I mean, you still have to take responsibility for that. You can't blame it on the hormonal change.
Absolutely. And it isn't like, you know, I went mad, so that was fine. And I think another thing that and I've written about in The Atlantic and other places, it's also looking at marriage and the stresses of marriage that both men and women face. I mean, it is, you know, in these long-term marriages, I met my husband at 26 and then I was 46. It's like, because we live a lot longer, your marriage may go over several decades, and both partners may change and come closer or grow apart. And I think just the stresses on today's marriages were, you know, often both spouses work full-time, they're co-parenting these children, and there's another statistic that today an average full-time working mother spends more time per week with her children than an average 1950s stay-at-home mother. So both parents are working. The stakes of parenting are so high, you know, instead of over the weekend letting the kid ride the bike around the neighborhood, nobody does that. They drive them to lessons. They are, you know, the financial pressures are on people. I think that actually, you know, marriages and households are really tough to hang together. And then we're also sort of in this age where, and to spice up the marriage, you need date night once a week. So that's another list of things you can put on your to-do list. I think the pressures are enormous that face people. My personal decision when I did was sort of personal to me. I don't necessarily recommend it to everyone, but it is just looking at the pressures people are under is something that I think is a useful lesson, regardless of whether one is married or divorced.
How do you look at it as a period of madness then?
Yes.
And
well, you know, yeah.
I mean, like, understandable, explainable, but still a state of madness in a Volvo.
Well, I think for your kind of like focusing on that word madness is a good thing to think about, because, you know, it's kind of like I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore. It's kind of like that. Sometimes it's appropriate to go mad at a certain point just to look at what we're all trying to do. And again, I think with women, it's the many hats they're trying to wear. You know, almost 50 years since Betty Friedan's, you know, Feminine Mystique, you know, after 50 years of sort of independence and freedom, they've done these longitudinal studies that show that women aren't necessarily happier, that they're often less happy. And then if they look at different demographic groups like married men, divorced men, married women, divorced women, they find that married mothers are the most unhappy group of all of these groups because of just the shoulds they have on their plate of, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, you know. And then we also have the global ideas that, like, but if, you know, women, kids get more obese and they have type 2 diabetes, if there isn't a family dinner every night, home cooked, that sort of falls on the mom to do that. So the pressures are just enormous. So I think the idea of being mad is actually sometimes it's the only sane response, at least for a moment, to just, you know, don't put more things on your plate or should, but like, really, what are we trying to do in a day and exercise and, you know, be a perfect size 2? Or, I mean, there's a lot of pressures that people take on, and I think sometimes the only sane response is to go mad, at least for a moment.
And meanwhile, how the kids reacted to all of this is pretty funny, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, I have two girls 18 months apart, and it's been interesting to watch them because they're actually, you know, and kids are not like our generation. They're comfortable, I mean, not just on the internet, which they are. I mean, it's like they're sort of a different breed, and they're the post-millennials. They sort of are intelligent, they roll with a lot, and I think sometimes we go, oh, you shouldn't say a bad word, and they go, oh man, I mean, everybody was watching this YouTube thing at 7 years old. Like, they have a whole different world that they're in, and I think my girls have, you know, as a contrast to in my mother's generation, where she was like a 1960s suburban mother, I call them, instead of the mad men, the mad women, perfect lipstick and heels to go to the grocery store. One day they hurled those plates out the window and retreated to their bedrooms and never talked about what was going on with them. With our children, I tend to say we overshare, but they know what's going on with us, and if I retreat to my bedroom crying, they'll come in moments later and sit on the side of my bed and we'll chat our way through it because of all the sharing. Like, we didn't have that opportunity when our mothers did it. I mean, it was scary. They just left. So in a way, I think my girls have so far, you know, knock on wood, you know, been okay.
In comparison, have you reached a place of calm?
Yeah, I have to say that I totally have, having gone through this, and now I'm 52, so it's kind of like I don't have cycles anymore. It's nice, and it's sort of extraordinary to have this sense of well-being and sort of patience in this new place, which is really compared to the storm of the second half of my 40s, where when that hormonal, perimenopausal hormonal storm comes on, you just... You know, they say it's only hormones, but hormones are, everybody has them. They're wired to your brain and your moods and your body. So when those go out of whack, you know, you just can't get out of bed. It's like you're a lady in, I call it the Cymbalta commercials. You know, that's why if you look on daytime television, there are so many commercials with depressed women staring out the window, you know, crying, because
right.
It's kind of a real thing.
Yeah.
So, but I got through it, so, you know, and then my advice to women is always, it will get better, but it seems endless when you're in it.
Well, at the end of those commercials, the sun always comes out and the rain dries up.
So that's, and it's so easy. It's
that's
just
right.
A pill.
At the end of 30 seconds, that's what happens, so... Now here you are at 52. It took a little bit longer, but hey. The book is The Mad Woman in the Volvo. It's published by Norton. It is it's a lot of fun and very smart and very interesting. It's The Mad Woman in the Volvo. Sandra Singlo, thank you so much for being with us. Always a pleasure having you on the program.
My pleasure. It is always a pleasure for me, too.
Thank you very much.